Hello, this is Evan Murray with Music Industry Insights. You can reach me at evan@musicindustryins.net, evan@musicindustryins.net. This podcast is an interview with Juliet Tan from the company called Blackstar. I think it's really important for export offices and anyone that's interested in career development to listen to this podcast, because of these businesses that are going to be the future of music. There's just no doubt about it. These are, you know, music professionals that have networks across the world, and they are organized. You know, they are organized to do marketing campaigns. They are organized to do distribution. They are organized to connect you with agencies and festivals. These people are sitting at the helm of a network, and they are working to consult you and to develop your career. And these companies are going to be popping up more and more and more. Listen to this podcast to get the full range of what's going on here, because this isn't as simple as going to a company and getting booked at a festival, or going to a company and they're booking your tour. This is the music business that we're talking about here. And we're also talking about how the music business is evolving and different aspects of the music business as well. So I'm not going to keep rambling on about this. This interview is incredibly important, and there is incredibly important information that you can extract. You can extract in understanding what even the elements are of building your own career as well. Please enjoy this. Please make a comment. Please send me an email. Please let me know how you feel about it. If you think I'm doing a good job or a bad job, and please take care of yourself. This is Juliet Tan from Blackstar.
Hi, Evan. Nice to see you again. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me. So I'm Juliet. I'm the co-founder of Blackstar Asia, which is a digital marketing, music marketing agency based in Singapore, but our footprint covers the whole of Asia.
Okay. So let's get more kind of specific about that. And what exactly is Blackstar, and what is the primary goals and its function?
Okay. Blackstar is the brainchild of three good friends, and we're all veterans in the music industry. We've been in the music industry for over two decades, and it is a project that stems from our love and passion for music, and we're always excited about discovering and promoting new music and artists that we like. And the mission that we have is essentially to help artists develop an audience and connect with their fans, new fans in Asia. So like I mentioned earlier, we are a boutique music and digital marketing agency with a huge footprint that covers the whole of Asia. So we cover China, North Asia, Hong Kong, which is Hong Kong and Taiwan, Japan and Korea, to Southeast Asia, to India. So this kind of alleviates a common gripe that we often hear from a lot of artists and our clients, that, you know, which is having to talk to different people in different country in Asia because of the language, or because each one is very localized agency. So with Blackstar, they only need to talk to one key point of contact, and that frees up their time to really focus on the things that are important to them, like music creation for the artists and developing a strong international strategy for the indie labels.
Okay, yeah. So that, I mean, ideally it sounds like, you know, artists, management companies, even agencies, export offices can kind of use your services to develop inside of the Asian marketplaces. Is that a kind of a good summary kind of thing? Okay.
Yes. You're right.
Can you tell us about your own personal background in the music industry? Like, you know, how long have you been doing it, and kind of take us through a little bit of your journey to get to this
point? Sure. Of course, though, I'll be revealing my age though. So I was fortunate to be in the music industry at the very beginning of my career, in the late 90s. I started as the part as part of the Singapore marketing team in UMG for about 3 years. And then I moved on to Warner Music. And that was really exciting times. It's about 2005, 2006. And we had a whole slew of really exciting new artists that we managed to break in the region, from Linkin Park to Michael Bublé. You're definitely familiar with Michael Bublé. It's one of the projects that Asia picked up first and insist on working in Asia. And we had a fun time promoting him and his music. And another artist that we also broke in the region is Jet. And after the record labels, I moved on to a regional role at MTV Asia. And I left the music industry after that, which was a concerted move for me because I want to go into the digital and performance marketing. So I joined Expedia, which is an online travel company. And, you know, but we never really leave the music industry, do we, right? Like 10 years later, I'm back here with Blackstar, promoting music, meeting new artists, and contacts like yourself again, and yeah, having fun again.
Well, it sounds like you've had quite a high profile career. And I mean, and then obviously being inside of travel tourism as well, I think that gives you a little, even more kind of understanding of, you know, the regions themselves. So I think it's quite interesting and quite valuable, you know, what your company is doing. And that's why I wanted to talk to you today. I guess what we have to touch on as well is like, what are some of the challenges that when you're working with, say, artists from Europe or the United States or Canada, you know, in your company now, like what are some of the challenges in the marketplaces that you work in? And can you be specific to, like, give us examples about certain countries, you know, where you find challenges, or, you know, can you just kind of explore that a little bit?
Sure. I guess we'll all agree that we are in this, an attention economy where competition for attention is just intense, it's saturated. You know, it's critical that we find new and efficient and effective ways for overseas artists and labels to connect with potential audience in this region. And also, given the key challenge probably in this region is that, you know, it's very fragmented, the fragmented nature of this whole entire region with their unique local cultural history nuances. So the approach that we have to provide is almost in every case very bespoke. And that's where, you know, our local knowledge, experience and expertise comes in. And it's really important to help these artists and indie labels to navigate this region with its diverse local histories, religious norms, local observances. An example would be just we just celebrated Hari Raya, which is, you know, for the world's largest population, the Muslims. This is a very important festival. What a lot of people abroad probably wouldn't know is that how this actually can affect music programming in certain markets like Indonesia and Malaysia, where the Muslim community is very big. So these kind of marketing, if you are planning to launch certain campaigns during this period of time, campaigns need to be tailored. We have to be sensitive to these Islamic holidays in terms of the content that we promote. So yeah, these are the things that we will help to advise and also help them navigate around, for example.
Okay. that's quite interesting. I mean, obviously, yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing to talk about, is the integration of culture, obviously, when we're, you know, when people are coming into different parts of the world, and, you know, how really different it can be, you know, how things are quite different than say things that you're used to in the place where you grew up. In saying that, like how long has Blackstar been established? Like what year did you guys establish? Do you have a rough number about how many companies or artists you've worked with? And as well, can you give us an example of one well-executed plan?
Okay, we are pretty new, actually. We have we've been together for about 3 years, and we've been fortunate enough to be working with a very broad spectrum of genres and artists. So from producers like Mern, who is the first Singaporean DJ producer to perform at Ultra Miami and Tomorrowland, to, you know, one of the legendary producers in Indonesia called Dipa Barus, who's known for his unique sounds that incorporates Indonesian traditional beats into his modern grooves. We also work with pop bands like Larkins from the UK, and also from the UK is the singer-songwriter called Jack Cullen, whom we managed to work on a track that was released 2 years ago and managed to really work it in this market and have it spend about 8 weeks on a Malaysian radio chart show, and it peaked at number 3. And we've just recently wrapped up a project with Japanese Breakfast, very exciting project. We were there from the start of the first single, Be Sweet, to the recent album launch, which is 2 weeks ago. And I guess this really demonstrates the strength of our agency, which really lies in our experience to come up with very customized plans for different types of artists and genres, because it's a lot of it is based on data and what the objectives that you want to achieve. I'll use Jack Cullen for example. Shine, which is the track that we were asked to work in Asia, was released in UK 3 years ago, in 2019, and it has recently picked up traction in UK, and the label decides to, you know, replicate the success in Asia, and they approached us to come up with a strategy. So obviously it's not a new music anymore. So, you know, the typical strategy of getting onto New Music Friday playlist, for example, is not applicable for this. And this is where we came up with a really customized solution to work this. What we did was to come up with a digital campaign using Jack's acoustic version of this song that he did during lockdown. He did it on piano, he did it with his guitar while walking through a park, all really good video content that works really well for digital marketing on YouTube, Instagram and Facebook. So we did a very targeted digital marketing campaign with these assets to push and spin a story for us to bring it to radio station and DSP to get them to add them onto radio station and onto genres playlists on Spotify and Apple. And as a result, we managed to get it charted on a radio chart show in Malaysia on a Mandarin radio station, on a chart show that's purely by voting, and it stayed there for 8 weeks and it peaked at number 3. So, you know, we're really happy with it, and this shows that anything is possible with a well thought out plan, and it's executed based on insights, data merged with experience and creativity and the network that we have.
Okay. I guess that kind of rounds me out to, you know, like there's two kind of ideas here when I'm hearing about how you kind of go about things. One of them is like, I mean, can from like, you know, I guess you were working with really major artists before with labels. Now it's more like independent, but independent's kind of a skewed word because, you know, there's not really any tier system anymore where there used to be. And I think artists have a lot more power now to have a very successful career because of online and because of the way things work. What are the best marketplaces in Asia to develop in? Like, I mean, I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to like push anyone aside or to make you, you know, to show your favoritism or anything, but just logically, you know, just honestly and logically, what are the best marketplaces that, you know, from your experience in working in this company now, not majors and all that kind of stuff. That's a whole other, you know, monster, but working with Blackstar.
Okay. I think the attention naturally will shift to the big countries in this region, like Indonesia and Philippines and China, of course. Right. Mm. Well, but it's easy to assume that these will be the trigger markets for all projects, you know, but what we like to advocate is that, you know, we need to dive into streaming data use tools like ChartMetrics and other tools that we invest in to better understand where the real potential of each artist truly lies. Like, for example, with data, you might even tell that, you know, there's a lot of stream coming from Thailand, for example, for some reason. That could be TikTok trend that somebody picked up organically. You know, these are information that we can use to better strategize plans rather than just going in to just assume that, you know, let's target big markets first. So that's usually what we will advise our clients in terms of starting the project, is to really understand the data first before we decide where to hit.
And that kind of, you know, that kind of information is pertinent. And I'm kind of wondering, like, in, for example, like in Canada or Europe, like I've been in situations where, you know, a management team has called me and said, hey, like, you know, there's like, you know, 10,000 people following my artist in like Eastern Canada, and we'd really like them to tour through. And I mean, the significance of having, you know, like people following you kind of like on Spotify or online in Canada doesn't truly relate to what's going to happen in the physical world, you know? So I'm like, that's great that that's happening for you, but you'd still probably make more money as an independent artist if you were busking on the street than trying to play in venues, you know? is like, let's talk about trends. Like, well, before we dive into trends, like, how does digital numbers translate for you in the physical world inside of your marketplaces?
It is actually very correlated, because it's probably like a two-pronged thing, right? Like before the pandemic, when they can tour in this market, sometimes we probably don't need streaming numbers to substantiate that. It could be a concerted effort to target it because the artist, for example, has a heritage related to that particular market, for example, like a Japanese breakfast. Michelle is half Korean, American. So maybe Korea is a key market. And when touring allows, that's whenever an artist is present in market, generally we will be able to create a lot more media coverage, a lot more opportunities and collaboration when they are in market. So this pre-pandemic opportunity has actually been missing. But before that, we feel that that can actually help a lot with streaming numbers, even though they might not be very strong initially. But when they are touring in that market and that region, that definitely will increase and help with their fan base in streaming as well.
Okay, that is interesting. I mean, because, I mean, you know, places are different about how people kind of associate online with, you know, real life as well. And I think you brought up a super interesting part as well, and that's, you know, culture itself. Like when you belong to, you know, if you have heritage in a certain place, it gives you more of an advantage. I think that's just kind of, it goes without saying, but it's important to note, you know. I think that's really kind of interesting as well. Talk to me, like, the lot, I guess I'm gonna ask you one more question here, and then I'm gonna just try to, you know, I'm gonna ask you to give me your kind of final thoughts on everything. But talk to me about current trends and what's coming in the future. So where are we trending right now on how things are happening around your area and your region? And what do you think is the music industry is going to look like within the next 5 to 10 years?
I think this is probably because of the pandemic. I feel like everybody's in the same boat, essentially, like live streaming. Because of the lack of actual live gigs now, a lot of artists are actually turning into live streamings. It's the same in Singapore and in this region as well. And that's a really interesting thing, because it makes a lot of artists a lot more accessible to their fans. But at the same time, like I mentioned earlier, even though there's this accelerated growth of live streaming sessions, it's still very challenging typically to grow an artist within this region, because this space is actually starting to get very saturated. We have live streamings from different artists almost on a daily basis. The tension, the fight for attention again, it's too much. The media, we have to fight with the media to fight for this coverage, because there's just so much going on. So I guess it's still something that we are hoping that, you know, once this pandemic is, well, it's never going to be over, right? But once it's settled and, you know, life can, people can start touring again, that's something that is, well, definitely everybody is looking forward to, live shows again. And the other thing that probably is very interesting is NFTs. So that's something that I feel it's a very interesting change to our industry. I'm not sure what kind of potential it has in terms of shaping the music industry. It's still early days, but we have more and more artists and labels getting on board on this, like Monster Cat's NFTs were snapped out within minutes. And then you have artists like Mike Shinoda, Steve Aoki, Kings of Leons, all joining this NFT movement. And I'm just very interested to know how this will shape up the future of this industry, and how because the power is now being shifted to the artists, how it's going to be working for all the musicians in a safe and sustainable way, and how it can actually help like new independent artists and not just established names.
Well, let's touch on that for a minute, because I've seen a growing trend of people talking about this too. You know, it's like, actually, like, first Clubhouse happened and I'm like, okay, what the hell is this? And then, you know, a couple months later now, like, people are buzzing about this NFT. So give me your idea, your description, just like a really brief summary of what NFT is and how you think it's going to affect the future.
Specifically for music, I think NFT has that potential to merge music with art.
Okay, but like, what is NFT? Like, what does it stand for? Do you know what it is? Like,
non-fungible tokens. So it's like,
okay, so it's, is it like a Bitcoin thing? Is it like kind of like
it's
an
crypto?
Online... Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's a digital creative asset that gets to be owned by somebody, you know, for a price, and you get to own it. So that's something that is really interesting, because as fans, we never own any songs from an artist, right? They always get ruined. Now is the chance for fans to really truly own a piece of something that that their idols create. So it's just really interesting. And I guess that's where all the buzz is, because the power is being given to both the musicians and also their fans. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, honestly. I mean, it's just early days. But I feel like the potential is definitely there. It just needs to strike this right balance, you know, between creativity and financial success. And probably this would be a good topic for you to cover in your future conferences.
Yeah, I might actually create a panel about it, but I might let it happen for another year before I really start talking about it. Because I know that, I mean, it's obvious that people want to own paintings and people want to do that. And, you know, it sounds interesting to want to own a song, and then, you know, you can collect the royalties off it and the whole cryptocurrency thing. But I think it might be, there's still so much to explore there before it kind of gets constructed, you know, like a construct. And I think if I had a panel on it, it would just be a lot of exploratory conversation right now, you know? So
that's true. Yeah. We never really know which way it will go, right?
Yeah. But the fact that people are putting time into it and energy into it, it means it's going to exist, right? Like, it's going to exist. It's here and it's not going to die anytime. So I think it's important for people to keep an eye on it. And that's why I kind of wanted to briefly just touch on it with you, because you did mention it too, right? So how about give me some final thoughts? Do you have any final thoughts about the company, about the future, about anything you kind of want to say about, you know, whoever's listening to this, like, to give them some kind of idea of where you're going and how you're thinking about everything?
So I just feel this is really exciting times. I mean, we are in the middle of a pandemic. You know, things are really shitty right now because we don't have the things that we are used to, like concerts, festivals, touring. But on the silver lining is that a lot of things has grown, and there's a lot of opportunities that typically, traditionally, probably wouldn't have grown so much. But, you know, the pandemic has so much accelerated its growth, like live streamings, for example. I feel like there's a lot of potential in terms of live streaming and how we can further, you know, like bands like BTS can monetize it, but what about the rest of the artists? What can be better done to make it financially sound as well? And also the kind of content that's been created has been just explosive during this period. Everybody's just upped their creativity game. And all the more, you know, that's I feel like that's so exciting for us because we have so many opportunities to work with different people who has this whole tons of content, but they don't know how to necessarily feed it to the right market, to the right audience. And that's where Blackstar can come in to help them really streamline and advise them and how to really navigate this area without, you know, it's a huge market. But, you know, if you try to cover everything the minute you say it go, it's crazy. You're just spreading yourself too thin. And we always believe that, you know, we should always target the key, we phase it out, and that's where we can help you decide which are the priorities and how do we address that and how do we tackle that first before we expand to the other markets in this region. And yeah, we're just very happy that, you know, Nikki and myself, my partner Nikki and myself, have this opportunity to be able to share our knowledge with, you know, whoever who would like our consultation. Yeah, it's just very exciting times. Well, we're always very energized whenever we talk to new artists or labels and just sharing our insights.
And I think you have a lot of knowledge. Like from what I'm gaining, you know, gathering from you, is I think that you have a lot of knowledge. I think you have a lot of good energy. And I think there's, okay, you know, I think it would be worth companies to kind of explore business with you as well. So I just wanted to thank you for your time, Juliet. And
thank you so much as well.
Okay. Take care. And I'll be seeing you at Live at Heart.
Same here. Take care. Stay safe, Evan.
Cheers.
Bye.